So the question that I have is, there seems to be a lot of agreement on the panel, and I wanted to know, Lee, I heard you say at a, I think it was a BCGU conference, a human rights conference, that there's a difference between agreement and unity, and a difference between unity, agreement and alliance. I'm sorry, that's what I meant. And I wanted to know what you thought the steps were, or what the panel thought, about having an agreement now and moving forward to building an alliance. What does it take? We've got women here representing different constituencies, and I'd like to know what you think those steps would look like.
I can start. Obviously, I don't have a whole lot of answers, which is why I was interested in the forum. But, you know, there's an action been called for Monday. Obviously, it's critically important that everybody who didn't participate in planning that action get your boots out and support that action so that the people who took some leadership get reinforced for doing so, which might mean they have an even better idea on Wednesday. So that's one thing. Support what leadership emerges. The second thing is there's a litigation strategy, which Jackie talked about. So if you have a group or a group's name or a church or a neighborhood house or anything that can sign on to the legal challenge that's going on, you should approach Jackie and make sure the names of your organization are used. I think we were asked to support the union struggles that are going on, particularly the public sector unions, particularly those that are clearly the poorer of women involved in the union movement, that we need, it's obvious that HEU has to be supported. We need, if we haven't individually taken those actions yet, we clearly need to. I can tell you that, you know, Rape Relief is sticking its neck out very, very far every day now. We absolutely need new volunteers. We need people to write checks. We need people to back us up in the press, because we are going to get targeted. We always have been, but we're going to be way more so now. So, you know, I think there's quite a lot for all of us to do. I'd like to get to more negotiating kinds of conversations. I don't think we got very far tonight, and I mean, I think this is good, but I think we have to talk a lot more. Some things started to happen between the panel tonight and last night that I think were useful, but it has to happen between all of us. We have to complain to each other. We have to dredge up our old worries and concerns. We have to trade supports actively now. And we have to be leadership.
And I'd like to pick up those who are taking leadership. We need to be standing behind, as Lee said, and supporting. And I'm not expecting those who are most vulnerable and most at risk to be the ones being up front. I mean, if we're doing a blockade, we're those of us who have the greatest degree of privilege to be in the front line being arrested, not those who already have been criminalized or at greatest risk of being criminalized or at greatest risk of not being able to extricate themselves from that jail experience. Not that I have keys or anything. But
I just want to add to what Lee had to say about the court case, about the challenge against the 2 years out of 5. Yes, we really would like to hear from organizations that would like to add their support to the case. We would also like to hear from individuals who either would be willing to be plaintiffs who are facing the 2 year out of 5, or who are willing to tell their stories so we can take them as affidavits. And there's a difference of degree of commitment, I guess, and danger or insecurity in doing those two things. But so if anybody is one of those people or works for a group where they think there is somebody who would be a really good plaintiff or person to tell a story. Maybe I shouldn't say even really good. I think we need all kinds of stories. Get in touch with me. I've got some cards, and if you think about it later, you can get in touch with PAC, Public Interest Advocacy Center, and about it. So please think about it, because we need, one of the things that has happened in a few previous cases is we have somebody who stands up forward and says, we think this law around poverty or this decision around welfare was a bad decision. And the courts have been inclined to say, well, you know, like that's your particular experience, but there's really no evidence that it's a general experience. So when we go to court with this one, we want it absolutely clear to the judge that hears it that this is a general experience. This isn't just because Joni's, you know, drug addicted and weak, or Fred, you know, never bothered to get past grade four and you know, isn't very employable now that he's 58 or whatever, right? It needs to be, we need people. So come touch with, get in touch with me or with PIAC after tonight. Thanks.
Just add one thing to that. We've been stuck in courts a lot. You know, you heard a woman tonight talk about a 10-year court battle on violence against women. Rape Relief's been stuck in court a lot supporting women. What's perfectly clear to us is that courts are political like every other process, and it's very important what you get in the newspaper while other people are doing their court battle. Those of us who are not in the court battle are free to say whatever the hell we want during the course of that political case. And it's very important that you do that, that you call actions which make the demands higher than the court action can make, and that you write letters to the editor saying stronger, more inflammatory things than the court action can do. So we've all got a part to play to support those court strategies.
Specific on this one that you're speaking about, the challenge legally, the lawyers are all saying, and this is why I consider myself a recovering lawyer, but the lawyers are all saying that they, you know, the strategically you have to just go for the right to welfare, that the adequacy of rates can't be addressed. There's nothing to stop everybody else from talking about the real issue if you want a right to welfare is the adequacy of rates. And I think that a campaign around that in conjunction with this legal challenge would be, you know, vital.
There's three people still waiting to speak, and I think after that we'll wrap up for the...
Thanks for letting us keep on here, and thank you everybody for being here. And I made notes, but so many people addressed things that I needed to hear, and I'd like to thank Gordon Campbell for us being here tonight. That's my little joke, getting things moving again. Yeah. 1970 and... I was in grade 11 talking about women's right to equal pay for equal work. And here we are. At that point, everyone in the class disagreed. I think a lot more would. It's a slow process. I went from being, you know, middle class to now being a single mom on disability with a son who has special needs. And we live in the downtown East Side. I just joined the PAC, the Parent Action Committee, because of, I mean, the cuts that the government is doing to everything, to me on disability, to my, I mean, to everyone, and to the lack of supports for children in general, what they're doing, and it's definitely, you know, sort of class and women oriented. And I react strongly. I can't say I'm not a communist, but I'm not a capitalist, but I'm, you know, and I react to anybody's rhetoric. So if I hear a certain rhetoric, the one thing I've discovered since I've been on disability in the welfare system, you know, which I never imagined, and so I feel very fortunate because I grew up one way and now I'm discovering the other, you know, a whole different side of things. And even the people who I know who think of themselves as good people, caring people, honest people, don't understand the realities of the welfare system. They don't understand, they don't have facts. So if I go and say, we need welfare, a guaranteed livable income for everyone, it's like, oh yeah, but what about all those people who use it and abuse it? And you say, you know, the only difference is that if you have enough money, you can get a lawyer and go and fight it. Or if you have a lot of money, you can go to the government and get the law changed. That's fact. People who don't have money can't do it. But some of the inequities that I've met, I'm just a couple of things. So it, for me, it's again challenging, and then challenging the media. I mean, people, what do people see most often? The headlines in the Vancouver Sun or the headlines in the province. You know, getting people, whatever, how do we do, get people to read more or read other things? But that's what people see as they're walking down the street. So we need to work on the media also and get real information. I know it's incredibly difficult, but that's something that I'd like to see more of, that I try to do more of myself. And for people to understand, again, that we are really all on the same side. I think there are people who are really caring but don't understand and want to think of themselves maybe with the winners who have more money, you know? Because I certainly was treated differently when I was at university living with a lawyer, God forbid, to what I am now, very differently as a single mother on disability, much less respect. And also with my age and weight and everything, it's quite incredible. And I respond to that. So just the other thing is welfare. People on welfare pay taxes. We pay PST. We pay GST. We are taxpayers. And I thought, you know, people say we're not taxpayers. I'm a taxpayer. I pay probably more of my funds in taxes. And one other issue is the lack of safety that parents have, which I've experienced personally, and I know a lot of other people have, with the Ministry of Children and Families. And the real, you know, we're talking, I mean, it was before 9/11, I knew I was not safe in this country or in this city because of the Ministry of Children and Families, because of lies or misunderstandings or whatever you said, and I had no recourse. I would have been had more recourse if I'd been charged with a crime. And I have that over me always. Nothing to get, you know, and there's no safety there. And to me, that was the start of the erosion of safety for women and children in our, at least in BC. I don't know how it is elsewhere. So I just want, again, like to thank everybody and, something will start because we're starting to talk again. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Hi, my name is Claire. I wanted to thank Vancouver Rape Relief for putting on this panel tonight. I think we need to do more building alliances. I think talking together, I don't have any great solutions in terms of how we can organize. Just a bit of food for thought. I think one thing that I am very clear on is that who is the enemy? I think that all of the panelists have brought that up tonight, that that many of us are spending time trying to convince our coworkers, our friends, people we run into, that we are not the enemy here. The enemy are the corporations. The problem for me, the overriding problem, is that this society is built on what is going to make profit. It is not structured, governed, run on the basis of what we as human beings need to lead decent lives. And I think that that is absolutely central to whatever we do, what our analysis is. And we need to know and understand that if we, the well-being of the person beside us has to be supported, has to be safeguarded, because if it isn't, it's next going to be us. I think all the cuts to get, that are coming, they're going to pull it off because it's women who are going to pick up the pieces. We have looked after the world all of our lives, and we will keep it up. Our strength is in unifying together, in recognizing who the enemy is, and the fact that it's all based on profit. It's a capitalist society, and I think that's a very good starting point, and talking together, working together, and realizing that, you know, who is the enemy? Who are we working with? And that's all I have to say. Thanks.
Thank you for letting me speak again. I was just listening about direct action, getting food directly to the people, and I don't know if many people here realize this, but we already have that quite widespread in our community. A lot of people don't realize that Sikh temples, the gurdwaras, have had in place for 600 years free food. It's called a langar. You go in there, all you have to do is just pay your proper respects. You know, thank the gurdwara, thank everyone there for providing this opportunity for you to eat. And you go downstairs to the langar hall, you help cook, you help serve, whatever, follow the proper etiquette, cover your head because it is considered a house of God. And have some food. That's what it was designed for 600 years ago, because people lived in abject poverty. And a lot of people don't realize this, and there are so many gurdwaras all over the place. Even other faiths have adopted this. I know of at least one Hindu temple that does the same. And I'm really surprised that a lot of people don't know about this. And I hope a lot of people here who are in need can take advantage of this. Thank you.
Okay, well, I want to ask the panelists if anybody has a final comment or statement to make before we wrap up for the evening. Okay, well.
The idea of Canada, a blockade on Canada Day for demanding, you know. I think it gives us enough time to get the word out around as many across the country. So I propose we start working on the blockade for Canada Day. And demand. I think the demands are all here.
Right.
We just.
Okay.
All in favor?
There we
go. All right.
Well, we've heard a lot tonight. Got a lot to take with us when we leave. And I think, to me, there's one thing we know, or several things we know. We know we have a history to draw on. We know we have a big fight and a hard fight. We also know, I think, that we have each other, and we have to fight together and take care of each other while we're doing that. And I think there's lots of discussions, lots of possibilities, lots of ideas, lots of concrete things that have been talked about that can be done right away. And also that a lot of very difficult, complicated, hard talking and thinking and planning that we have to be prepared to dig in for. But to me, I think one of the strongest things to come out of the meeting tonight is that we really have to fight together, and we have each other, and that's all we really have. But it's the only thing they can't take away. Right? So thanks, everybody, and good night.